right. Hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And today, my brothers and sisters, we're going to go back into our study of adoption. Adoption. And find out what our Bibles have to say about this matter of adoption, which is very important and something that if you are born again has happened to you and happened in the background, and that the Lord has shown you by compassion. And also that the legalities have been done that the Lord's holiness and righteousness requires in order for you to be adopted into His family. The Lord took care of a lot of things that we had absolutely no idea that come to pass whenever we were born again. All we knew is that we were regenerated and something happened to us by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and calling upon His name. So we're going back into adoption, and I thank you for joining today, and I appreciate you and respect you for honoring the Lord's Word and honoring your Lord by studying His Word. The Lord honors them that honor His Word, and we know that. So let's get back into it. Just to recap just a little bit, we talked about adoption seen naturally in the scriptures, that talking about genuine human beings adopting genuine human beings here on earth. It goes on all the time. There's so many orphans nowadays in all these countries that you read about and everything, and all the orphans that need help, that adoption is prominent. It's available. I mean, if you want a child, you can get a child from just about any country on the planet now, I would suppose. I see all kinds of countries where children and all kinds of children in America where they've been adopted. I know a pastor that's adopted recently, and he's got almost 10. And God bless him for that. I know the Lord will bless him for that. But, you know, having a heart for adoption and taking on a responsibility to take care of another human being that's not your blood, that doesn't come from you. He's an orphan. He's out there on his own. He has no mother and father. He has nobody to take care of him. And that's what adoption is about, is adopting not only a person, but a responsibility. And that's what the Lord has done with us. The Lord has not only adopted us in our person, but He's adopted the responsibility of taking care of us and looking out for us. And He does. He does. But we talked about adoption as used nationally of Israel in the scripture. Remember that? One thing that was very important that we went over quite a bit on the last lesson was that whenever we're looking into the Bible, we're looking into God's Word concerning adoption, the Bible does mention adoption having to do with Israel. But when it mentions having to do with Israel, remember what the principle is in the scriptures of what we need to remember when we're reading about adoption with Israel. It's corporately. It's as a nation. God adopted Israel as His own people nationally, corporately, all together, not person by person. Now, in this dispensation that we live in now, the gospel, the age of grace, and people are born again by the gospel of the grace of God, by believing on Jesus Christ without works, no works involved in it. You're born again by believing what the Bible says about the Son of God that came and gave His, shed His blood and was died and was buried and rose again and ascended back to the Father. And you believe, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, this is what is known as the Pauline gospel. There are other salvation. When we get into salvation, you'll see that. But the book of Acts is a transitional book, and it takes us from one salvation or one dispensation to another dispensation. I'm gonna be real careful with my words because I don't wanna mess you up. Some of y'all probably could teach me a whole lot, and I'd be thankful for it. But having to do with this transition of salvation and stuff like that, what we're interested in is the dispensation that we're in right now. We are very fortunate. All we have to do is believe on Jesus Christ, and we get eternal life absolutely free with no works involved in it. We ain't got to do nothing for it, not one thing. That's what's so crazy that people find it so hard to get saved. But yet, the simplicity of Christ is what confounds them. The offense of the cross is what confounds people, that they have to admit that they are a sinner and they are evil, just like Jesus said, in order to be saved. They have to admit it in their hearts. You can't get saved without agreeing with God about what you are. You have to understand that there's a reason that the Lord presented a sacrifice. If there wasn't anything to be saved, or anything that needed to be saved, then why'd the Lord do it at all? You see, so the Lord doesn't need to be saved. There ain't nothing wrong with him, not at all, or his son, or his plan of salvation. But talking about adoption, about Israel, I'm getting way off away from the rabbit hole. Adoption used naturally of Israel in the scripture. It's talking about a visible nation, a visible people, and a covenant between God and them, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, down through Israel, and God made them a promise for some land. He's going to give them that land. They already own it. He's promised it to them, and he's going to give it to them, and they're going to end up owning it, and they're going to end up living on it. And that's just it. That's what's going to happen. And if you look in it, you look at any kind of news, past, present, or future, it always has to do with somebody trying to take that land away from Israel. It always has, all through history. And if that don't tell you something about a book that just happens to talk about that, about a God that's promised it to a people, and that particular people is the one that has been having so much trouble with and booting them out of their country all through history and everything else. If you can't see that, you're blind as a bat. You're blind as a bat. Adoption used naturally in the scriptures, having to do with Israel, is corporately and nationally. Now, on the other side of the coin, adoption is used spiritually of Gentiles in Scripture. That's where we're going to start today. Adoption in the Scriptures, as the Scriptures use it spiritually for the Gentiles. Now, when it comes to the Jews, and it comes to Israel, it's naturally adoption. God adopted a nation, a people. You can feel them, touch them, see them, and they're real. Nothing spiritual about it. It's a piece of land. But when it comes to Gentiles in the Scripture and adoption, now we switch over to spiritual things. To spiritual things. God adopts people spiritually, you see, regenerates them, births them into his family through regeneration and being born again, the Bible says. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So let's look at some things that the Bible talks about having to do with adoption as used spiritually of Gentiles in the Scripture. Now, this is talking about us. Well, the first thing is that adoption of the Gentiles was predicted in the prophets. This is not no foreign matter that just started up. I mean, it was brought about in the New Testament when the New Testament the the adoption process for the New Testament and the New Covenant and the one that Jesus paid for began in the New Testament, but it was already thought about in the Old Testament. Let's talk about it. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1. Listen to this. This is the Lord talking. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. Talking about a nation that was not called by his name, Gentile nation. Talking about the Lord, people coming to the Lord and looking for God, looking for him, seeking him out that he had not chosen, Israel. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are my son, ye are the sons of the living God. Of the living God. Adoption of the Gentiles was predicted in the prophets. It's just nobody knew what salvation was going to be like or what Jesus was going to specifically, what things were going to be like under the new covenant back then. But that's what prophecy is. It's telling something about the future that's not yet been revealed. Okay, so the Gentiles were prophesied to be joining in on this thing, on this matter. But when Jesus came, he went to the Jews first. He went to them first, and he come to them. They were his people. They were God's people, and he came to them to bring in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is a place that you can actually touch, you can see, you can look at. It's physical, visible. And you can see it, the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of God is different. Don't get that confused. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God is what is going on right now. Right now. The Jews refused Jesus Christ and rejected him and turned away the kingdom of heaven. So he set them aside and brought in the Gentiles and brought about the kingdom of God, the mystery kingdom. It's a kingdom that that you cannot see, but it's spiritual. And it's the body of Christ, the church, the born-again baptized believers in the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, you see. Okay, nothing hard about that. Nothing hard about that at all. All right. But now, when the Lord comes back in the second advent, he will be here physically, and there will be a literal kingdom of heaven and a literal and the kingdom of God. It'll all be here present, both of them here present with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see? So, adoption as used spiritually of the Gentiles in Scripture. It was predicted in the prophets. That's not all. What else? Well, adoption of the Gentiles is confirmed by faith. By faith. You don't work for it. You don't impress God for it. You don't do nothing. You don't put fish hooks in your back and drag stones around. You don't sit up on a tall pedestal up on top of it and eat and drink for 40 years and never come down to prove that you can do something like that and impress God to get to heaven. You can't impress God to get to heaven. His son impressed him. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then what else did he say? Hear ye him. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you think you're going to get to the God the Father and get to heaven and going around Jesus, no matter which way or direction you're trying to go around Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in hell. Because Jesus said that you have to go through Him to get to the Father. And I'm glad He said that, ain't you? Because He's a good Savior. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. And He's not a fake and has been like all these so-called Saviors that pop out of the woodwork here and there, and all these other Jesuses and all this gobbledygook and all these fanatics that think that they're so special and want the praise of men and get worship and everything else. They can't get you to God. They can talk about it, but they can't get you there. Jesus backs up what He says, doesn't He? Is doesn't He a word? It is on this lesson. But adoption of the Gentiles was predicted in the prophets, but not only that, it's confirmed by faith. Now, where does it say that? In Romans chapter 9, let's read that, in verse 24 through 26. Let me read it to you. Even us. Now, of course, this is the Apostle Paul. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. He told them Jews. He preached to them and preached to them, and they turned him down and beat him and put him in jail and all kind of stuff like that. And then finally one day he says, okay, you say that you're not worthy of eternal life and you don't want it? Fine, I'm going to the Gentiles. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Besides that was what the Lord called him to do, was go before kings and go to the Gentiles. But here's what he says. Even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As He saith also in O.C., which is Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, talking about the Jews, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see? So, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God is Jesus Christ. And when we, by faith, submit ourselves unto Jesus Christ and His righteousness to pay the penalty for our sins, then the Lord adopts us into His family and puts Jesus' righteousness upon us and our unrighteousness upon Jesus. And He pays for it. And we become a child of God. Children of the living God. And that was the Jews' problem, is that they went about to establish their own righteousness and didn't submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. Adoption of the Gentiles, us, is confirmed by faith. Now, we're talking about Gentiles and adoption and how we get there, and it's that it's by faith and that it was predicted in the prophets. But if you're born again, you're no longer a Gentile. Everybody that's been born again into the family of God becomes one, part of the body of Christ, a child of God, the church, the body of Christ. You are a member of Christ's body. That's what you are now. You are a son of God, son of the living God. Okay, you are no longer a Gentile, classified as a Gentile. And a Jew that has been saved is the same way. He's part of the body of Christ. He is no longer a Jew. Okay? Excuse me. What else? What else about this matter of adoption as used spiritually of the Gentiles in Scripture? Well, adoption of the Gentiles is realized in the new covenant. It's brought about in the new covenant, the New Testament. Okay, well, let's see what the scripture says about that. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And we were. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is right now, which is right now, that's what you're living in, the dispensation of the grace of God. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made me, or made known unto me, the mystery. And what was the mystery? The mystery was what God was going to do with the Gentiles to save, people, and birth them into God's family by faith alone and no works. You see? By revelation, Paul's saying right here that he got revelation on the road to Damascus, a personal calling from Jesus Christ right there on that road. Revelation, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. People didn't know about salvation by grace and that Jesus was coming and pay. Jesus was going to be the Savior and he was going to be to the Gentiles too. They didn't know all that. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, isn't that neat? Paul told us just as plain as it could be right there that it used to be hidden. And it was. It was hidden because God was only dealing with the Jews. When Jesus came, he didn't have nothing to do with the Gentiles. He went to the Jews. He was going to bring in the kingdom of heaven. And if they had accepted him, that's what would have happened. But they didn't. So the Gentiles were brought in. And how the Lord had all that worked out is completely in his hands, and I don't recommend that you try to find out mysteries from the scriptures that are not revealed yet. There still are lots of mysteries that are not revealed, but that one is revealed now. But it was a mystery before. But it's not hidden anymore. We know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know about his sacrifice. We know why all these things come about. And we know because of the Apostle Paul getting revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ to preach to the Gentiles. And that everybody is fellow heirs that are born again and that are adopted into God's family and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Isn't that neat? That's neat. Okay, well, that's one thing there. Okay, adoption as used spiritually of the Gentiles. So we've seen that. Now, let's move on. What is the time of adoption? The time of adoption of the Gentiles as spoken in Scripture. I mean, when does it happen? When does it happen? Well, we're going to get into some... let's just talk about it. I'll make it just as... This is one of the things that gets into some real doctrinal things, and that's okay. Doctrine is good. But this is the ABCs of Christian growth, and we want to understand this stuff, the simplicity of Christ. But there's a lot of fellas a lot smarter than me, and some of y'all probably could teach me a lot of these things, but I'll explain it the best way I know how with the scriptures. But the time of adoption. When are you actually adopted? All right, and the time of adoption of the Gentiles as spoken in Scripture. Well, the first thing is adoption is spoken of, adoption is spoken of in the Scriptures as past and predestinated for Gentiles. Past and predestinated for Gentiles. Now, you say, past, I understand, but predestinated? What does that mean, Brother TV? Well, now, that's one thing that we need to just nail down and get an understanding about, because there are people out there, let me just go ahead and tell you, there's people out there that say that this predestinated word that is indeed used in the Scripture is meaning that God has chosen who's going to be saved and adopted and who's not going to be saved and adopted, and it's already decided, it was predetermined, predestinated, and you are predestinated to either be saved or not saved. Well, that's hogwash. That's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what it means by when it mentions predestinated. Predestinated is always talking about somebody that has already been born again. The word predestinated in the Scriptures is addressing people that is already in the family of God, that you've been predestinated. The will is a free agent. Remember that through all of our lessons. Everything that we talk about, remember that your will is a free agent. You say, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is God's never going to interfere with your will. He'll try to convince you and try to move you to change your will, to adjust your will to His will, and to want what He wants, and do it the very best way that He knows how. Now, could God just say change, and your will would have to change, because God could make us think what He wants us to think. But that's not the way the Lord is. The Lord wants to be loved because somebody loves Him on purpose from the heart. The Lord wants to be loved because somebody loves Him, not because He makes them love Him. In that same way, you want to be loved. You want to be loved because somebody genuinely, indeed, loves you. They're not loving you because you're making them love you. You see? So the will is a free agent. The Lord is never going to force your will. He's going to always give you a choice with your will, which way and what way and up or down, right or left. And that's why the world is making everything relative. They're confusing things in the world today. The devil's confusing things. He's mixing truth and he's mixing error all together, where you can't figure out what truth or error is without God's word. He's going to deceive the entire world that way. When you mix truth and mix error and just mix it all up, and somebody says, well, you know, whatever, it's all in how you look at it, and this and that and the other, and all the final authorities have been thrown out, and God's Word's been thrown out, and there is no final authority, then everybody can be their own authority, and right and wrong is relative. What's right for you might not be right for me. What's wrong for you might not be wrong for me. You see, God's not at all that way. God says right and left, up and down, salt and pepper, polarities. That's what the Scriptures teach. Okay, but when it comes to this adoption matter, there's people that say that the Lord has predestined you to be saved, okay, and that you have no choice in the matter. That's false. You always have a choice in it. You always have a choice. How come people go to hell if there's no choice in it? God puts people in hell without giving them a chance to go to heaven? Is that the God that you serve? Not me. Everybody that's in hell is there by choice, according to the Scriptures. Because God went out of His way before that person died and went into eternity, went out of His way to change their will to accept His Son. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And some people would rather die with their chin and their nose up in the air at God and go to hell than they would humble themselves and be born again. But God didn't force them. They got what they wanted. They got their will. They went to hell. They're sorry about it. And they're going to be in torments forever, being punished by God. But He gave them their will, and He gives you yours. So this predestination has nothing to do with people being selected by God to go to heaven and selected by God to go to hell. Everybody is selected. He sent His Son. Jesus died for all men. But all men are not going to accept Him. Why? Because God doesn't force people's will. He gives you a choice. Gives you a choice. Now that's a fair God, isn't it? You want to go to hell? Go to hell. You want to not serve Me and have things better in your life and have Me, the Almighty, looking after you and taking care of you and comforting you and giving to you and providing for you and giving you liberty and putting My yoke on you and taking the yoke of this stinking world off of you? You want that? You can have that. But adoption is spoken of in the Scripture. We're talking about adoption. I want to get way off the matter here. But we're talking about adoption, the time of adoption. All right, well, adoption is spoken of as past and predestinated for Gentiles. Let me read some Scripture, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 through 31, the Bible says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Now that verse, if you're just reading it and you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then it sounds like that God set everybody up to be saved and to be conformed into the image of His Son. But that's not the way it happens. This is speaking of a person that's already saved. Now think about that when I read it. This is somebody that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, not somebody that's denying or somebody that is resisting the Lord but has to be saved anyway because God predestinated him to be saved. This is talking about that God has predestinated for somebody to be conformed. God does not conform to unsaved people and wicked people into the image of His Son. God doesn't even fool them as far as righteous matters and as far as doing things and conforming them into the image of His Son. That's first. Ungodly people and rejecters of Jesus Christ and God-haters, God doesn't spend 1 minute conforming them into the image of His Son. He conforms His sons into the image of His Son. Heirs with Christ, the Bible says. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be these are the people that were given the opportunity to be born again. They heard the gospel. They accept the gospel. All right. Now what? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Predestinate what? Not to be saved. Predestinate for all these matters after you're saved to come about. You're born again, and He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You get born again, God has predestinated that everybody that is born into His family as a son is going to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. 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 Not ungodly, God-hating, unrighteous people. Brethren. See? Moreover, whom He did predestinate, after salvation, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. That's what we're talking about this adoption matter. There's so many things that go on during your salvation, when you're born again, that we need to study them. And justification is one of them. Them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. That's another one, glorification. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is not for ungodly, God-hating sinners that don't want nothing to do with Him. He's not for them. He wants them to be saved. But He's not for their wicked lives, and for their wicked wills, and for their rebellion, and for their hatred, and strife, and fornication, and adultery, and murder. He's not for all that. This is not talking about predestination adoption is spoken of as past and predestinated for Gentiles. In other words, it's a mystery that's been hidden. When Paul came along, God gave him the new covenant, gave him the new the gospel of the grace of God. He started preaching it, and at the beginning of Matthew, things started transitioning from the law over to grace, which we're in right now. And when it got to Paul, Paul took it and preached it to the Gentiles, and it took off, and it got to us. It got to us. And the same way Paul was saved, the same way we're saved. You see? Okay, but these predestination matters are matters that of things that happen just like this adoption. You were never going to be adopted as long as you were not saved. God did not predestinate you to be adopted. After you were adopted, God predestinated, after you were born again, God predestinated that you become His son. Adopt you. He made the decision way back when that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and He predestinated for you because you've been saved that you're going to be adopted. You get that? That's easy, isn't it? That's easy. But this matter of being predestinated to be saved and that God's got it all selected and these are going to heaven, these are going to hell, that's a bunch of hogwash. I would not even think twice about serving a God that thought that way. Would you? I mean, how you know if you're going to go to heaven or hell? And you ain't got no choice in the matter? Do you think human beings are going to walk around and discipline themselves, these sinners? All of us with this evil, being evil, the Lord said, ye being evil. Do you think that for one minute that if people thought that they were, had a chance of going to hell, God set it up perfectly. He is so perfect. If you had a chance on going to hell, you think you would be disciplining yourself to do all the goody-goody things and stuff like that? Man, it'd be like most people, there'd be bar rooms all over the place. And that's what they are. But the time of adoption of Gentiles, as spoken in the Scripture, is past and predestinated. Now, like we was talking about, there's a belief in Christendom that these verses that we read teach that a person is selected by God and has no choice in his adoption or his salvation. Hence, predestination. This is completely and it's utterly false, and nowhere in the Scriptures does it teach that a person has no choice in the matter. Nowhere. Show it to me. It's not in there. Man's will is completely a free agent. Remember that. That the Lord always, that the Lord allows and has chosen it to be that way. A person can choose to be saved or not to be saved, and the Lord will not reverse his choice without his willing. Without him willing. The verses that we read are speaking to someone who's already accepted Christ willingly. A lost person at no time is conformed into the image of Christ. You get that? Okay. All this, it's just as simple as it can be, and the Lord has set things up so perfect. But not only that, adoption spoken of as past and predestinated, but adoption is spoken of as present and born again Gentiles regarded as sons. Adoption is not only in the past, it's right now. If you're born again and you willingly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and called on Him, you are born again right now, and you have been adopted right now already. It's present, in the present, and born again. All right, you're regarded as a son right now. You're not going to be a son. You are a son. All right, listen to this. John chapter 1. In the book of John, verse 11, listen to what it says. He came unto his own, and his own, talking about the Jews, Israel, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Have you been born of God? Did you believe on Jesus Christ and ask God to save you? Then you were born of God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? You see, Nicodemus was thinking of something that you can see and touch. How can a man, physical stuff? Jesus is talking about spiritual stuff, kingdom of God. But Nicodemus says, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's being born physically of your mother, and of the Spirit, that's your spirit being regenerated and born of God the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now this all used to be a mystery, but it's not a mystery anymore. It's present. It's right now. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. So the Lord said that this was the way things were going to be. He said that people were going to be born of the Spirit. Adoption is spoken of as present and born again Gentiles regarded as sons. That's what the Lord said. All right, let's move on a little bit. What else? Adoption is spoken of as future and born again Gentiles glorified as sons. Not only is it past and predestinated for Gentiles, not only is it present and born again Gentiles regarded as sons, but it is future and born again Gentiles glorified as sons. Did you see that? Talking about glorification, we're going to study that too. We're studying adoption right now, but glorification is also that something that has happened already, but you're going to be glorified. You're already glorified, but you're going to be glorified too in the future. Let's read it. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, the Bible says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Everything is waiting for what God has said. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption." You think you're in the best world and love the world and love this? God calls it a bondage of corruption. "Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit." We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. That He's the down payment. He's the first fruit. Our first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now, you've not only been adopted presently and a son of God, but he's talking about the physical adoption where you actually go to be with the Lord, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. Your body even gets comes up out of the grave and is renewed and fashioned unto the glory, fashioned likened unto his glorious body, the Lord Jesus Christ's body. You know, the Lord, everybody bragging on their bodies and going to spending these hundreds and thousands of dollars on their stinking body and everything else. And they know when they're in there looking at themselves that that thing is just as vile as it can be. The Lord says it's vile. That's why it's a shame to uncover it. Nakedness has always been a shame in the Scriptures. And this world's going just the opposite of it, teaching about nakedness and trying to, if that body is such a hot shot thing, then how come, and you gotta spend $1 million to keep it going, so to get somebody to look at it and be attracted, and the only thing that attracts some people to that flesh is lust. The Lord said it's vile. Cover it up. The only thing that is not vile about the body is the marriage bed, and in the privacy of a marriage bed. The Lord said it's undefiled. But that's it. That's it. Got no business going around showing, trying to show everybody this and show everybody that. Cover it up. It's vile. But we're talking about adoption. We're talking about adoption. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Listen to this. We're talking about adoption as spoken of in the future. Not only are we already adopted as the sons of God, and we are spiritual beings, we have been regenerated, we have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, the first fruits, and that we're on our way to heaven. We have all the promises that the Lord's promised us, and they are not going to be. They already are. Okay, but the redemption of our body, that the Lord's going to change our body. Could you imagine having to live in that thing that you're living in right now for the rest of eternity? Could you imagine that? Man, if you didn't have nothing to praise God about, that's one thing you ought to praise Him right now about. Lord, thank you that I ain't got to live in this body like it is for all eternity, that you're going to change it and you're going to perfect it and make fashion it like unto Jesus' glorious body. And that's what we get to live in. Wouldn't it make a difference if you was in a perfected body right now? If you could jump out of that body and jump into a perfected body, like Jesus' body, that had no pain, that could go through solid objects, that could eat, that was a spiritual body, but it was flesh and bone. Now, I don't understand all that, but that's what Jesus said. And that's what's going to be. But if you could get in one right now, would you? We'll see there. Listen to this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." There's your promise. There's your promise. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. You don't think you're going to be changed? Yes, you are. You don't think you get a new body? Yes, you are. The Bible says we don't understand it right now. We don't. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We can't figure it out. God's got it all figured out. But he said it ain't going to be like this. And if that ain't a blessing enough that you ain't got to live in that body for the rest of your, for the rest of eternity, I mean, going to heaven be one thing, and all respect to the Lord, but going to heaven and have to live in this same body in heaven? Uh-uh. The Lord's got it all worked out for us, doesn't he? Praise his wonderful name. Praise the Lord's wonderful name. He's got it worked all out. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We're talking about adoption. We have talked about adoption as used spiritually. This has been kind of a hard, detailed lesson here, but it's necessary as we go through this adoption. This is kind of the legalities and how it come about through faith and the new covenant realized and things like that, and the Gentiles being worked into this thing. And that the Gentiles and the Jews are no longer separate when it comes to the body of Christ and the sons of God. We're all the sons of God that have been born again. And Jesus said that it was a marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now that is the Son of God saying them words, ye must be born again. Adoption of the Gentiles was predicted in the prophets. It was not only that, but it was confirmed by faith. Adoption was realized in the new covenant. And as far as the time of adoption, it was past and predestinated for Gentiles, and it's present, and born-again Gentiles are regarded as sons, and it's future, and born-again Gentiles glorified as sons. So there we go. We're going to stop right there, and on the next lesson, we're going to get into the source of scriptural adoption. I mean, what backs up this matter of adoption? What makes this matter of adoption happen? How does it go? What backs it up? What's the source of it? What's the source of it? We're going to get into some of that and find out some more about this matter of adoption. You stay with this thing. You need to know this thing about adoption. You need to, the devil's going to try to trick you about and throw darts at you and try to deceive you is that you're not a son of God, or that it's possible for you to fall out of God's family, that you wasn't adopted to begin with, and all this blabbity blab. Yeah. So you need to know these things and know it by what the scriptures say, because that's the only thing we got to go back on to say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. God says, and that's what we stick to, you see? And that's what makes it true, is because it's God's word. Thy word is truth. And that's how come I know I'm believing the truth, is because God's word is truth. And I believe his word and what he says about everything. Don't you? You should. Praise him for his word, right? Amen. All right, well, let me give you these scriptures, okay? Are you ready? Isaiah chapter 65, verse 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. Romans chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. And chapter 30. Oh, excuse me. Romans chapter 9, verse 24 through 26 and verse 30. And then chapter 10, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. And verse 13. I'm sorry. And then chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. I'll get you all mixed up. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. And then chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. And let's see here. We had Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 23. And our last one for today is 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the son, now, right now, 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 now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. Amen. Adoption. Aren't you glad you're a son of God? Aren't you glad that the Lord keeps his promises and follows through when he says he's going to do something and you believe him, that he follows through and backs it up and that he's got the power to back it up? There's a whole bunch of people make promises and everything else, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty and you put your hope and trust in them, they ain't got no power to follow through. They're just yabba-dabba-doing and flapping off at the gums. God can back up what he says, and he does. If you know anything about the Lord and your Heavenly Father, you know that he's got the power to do anything to help you out. Amen. We got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. You need to love him more and more and more. Amen. All right. Until the next lesson, we're going to talk about the source of scriptural adoption. The source of scriptural adoption. What makes it valid and what makes it happen. Okay? This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. You have a wonderful rest of your day or afternoon or morning. And I pray that the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.